This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
It is. Let's go to the courtroom for today's segment number one in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill.
All right. Good morning. We're going on the record on KCR 22211624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. This is the continuation of the jury trial in this case. The state continues putting on its case in chief. Prosecution's here present, as well as the defendant and her attorneys. Before we bring the jurors in this morning, we had ended yesterday with a argument as to a proposed exhibit, which the court made a ruling on yesterday, indicating that the exhibit as proposed would not be admissible. The court's been advised now that an updated, amended exhibit's been prepared, and due to the nature of the legal argument, I think it would be appropriate to hear the issue before we bring the jurors in. And in the matter of efficiency, the court would note received a courtesy copy of the proposed exhibit and have reviewed that, and I believe the defense has as well. So as we get started this morning, let's talk about the issue of the next witness's proposed demonstrative exhibit, which I believe the state's offering under Rule 106. Ms. Smith, I believe you'll make argument as to the admissibility of that exhibit. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. If you'd like to present argument at this time, I'll hear that, and then I'll give an opportunity for the defense to respond.
Thank you, Your Honor. Without repeating the state's position yesterday, the amended exhibit, I believe, addressed the court's concerns. The headers were removed. Any slide, and we respect and absolutely will do whatever the court, we suggest that it's admissible, but respecting the court's order, we removed any slides that could even border on argument. We removed any slides, we removed a timeline, which the court had said was allowed. It is simply representative text in summary, and representative data in summary from the iCloud. It was cut and paste directly from what's already been admitted as part of States 29. Those documents, the iCloud, Lori for Style at iCloud.com, the documents and data in Lori for Lolly Time in iCloud.com have already come in. So these items are already in evidence, and similar to has been allowed for a few witnesses, this witness reviewed, and his responsibility within the FBI to review in detail iCloud, he did that. And to aid the jury and to aid him in his testimony, this exhibit would allow him to testify as to texts that reflect the content, reflect the ideas in the defendant's own words. These texts are the defendant's own words or conversations with her co-conspirators. They are conversations that show the defendant's state of mind, motive, intent. It certainly establishes that there's no mistake in this plan. The probative value of this significant evidence is unparalleled. And Agent Hart has spent hundreds of hours reviewing the iCloud, and to ease his testimony, to make it easier for the jury, he prepared this summary, and using this summary will aid the jury in reaching questions and making an ultimate decision on this case.
All right, thank you, Ms. Smith. I believe Mr. Thomas, are you going to make an argument in opposition?
Yes, Your Honor. So I received this last night, the final version, shortly after 8 o'clock. We were reviewing that last night and this morning, and in our review we found multiple pages that have impermissible hearsay. I understand that the court is willing to allow in hearsay of co-conspirators pursuant to evidentiary rule, but on pages 2, 5, 7, 15, 43, 46, 72, 73, 75, 80, 81, 82, 83, and 84, there are numerous impermissible hearsay statements from either witnesses who have testified already or witnesses who have not been called, including Melanie Boudreau, Cole Vallow, Zach Vallow, some unlisted individuals, Audrey Baratario, and Sydney Woodbury. We believe that this is far outside of what Mr. Hart will be able to testify to, and if he testifies to anything of what these people said, if he gives any commentary, then that's going to be impermissible hearsay, and he's just going to read impermissible hearsay into the record. And so I would ask that this be excluded for those reasons.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. The representation from the state is, and of course the court has not gone in and reverse engineered the exhibit to make sure that the summary in proposed 183 is pulled directly out of already admitted evidence, which was state's 29, that is the continuing representation of the state that in fact all of the communications in 183 are directly from 29, which was previously admitted.
I apologize, my microphone wasn't on. Yes, Your Honor. In fact, to ease any concerns the defense might have with that, we have actually placed on thumb drives as state's exhibits 29C and D the entirety of the Lolly Time at iCloud.com and the entirety of LoriForStyle.com, as we have, our practice has been in this case to prevent hundreds of thousands of pages being flooded the court file. We have admitted the business record certificate and then taken portions of the representative records and admitted those. But to ease any concerns, anticipating what defense counsel might suggest, the entirety of Lolly Time is on one thumb drive. The entirety of Lawyer for Silas is on the other. And we certainly, I'm confident that those had been disclosed to the defense a few times, but for these counsel, we know the earliest they got it was in August of 2021, and it was in that production they received. So it's a duplicate of what they received. It has been verified, the copy by Agent Hart. So then we can just make sure that the agent can testify to that.
All right. The courts then considered this new proposed exhibit 183 in terms of Idaho Rule of Evidence 1006 and whether or not it's an appropriate summary to prove content of voluminous writings records that can't be conveniently examined in court and may potentially assist this witness in providing testimony about that voluminous information. Also considered the objection lodged by the defense as a objection relating to hearsay on certain pages of the exhibit. Hasn't been argued this morning, but I considered the timing as well of the disclosure. And upon consideration of all that, and in particular also Idaho Rule of Evidence 403, whether or not this may be more prejudicial than probative in a balancing, the court would find that upon review of the exhibit, it would be admissible, assuming the witness lays an adequate foundation for the exhibit prior to it being admitted. The hearsay objection is overruled, as the court would find that was waived upon the entry of State's Exhibit 29, which was previously admitted, I believe without objection in the case. And so these are portions of an already admitted exhibit. Also, in terms of the timing here, because it contains the same content of the previously admitted exhibit, but in a shortened version, and also that it removed the argumentative nature of what was included in there, the court would determine that it now does appropriately comply with Rule 1006 as a summary that may be used by the witness. So I'm making just a provisional ruling at this point, subject to foundation being laid by this witness to get that in. But the concerns raised yesterday have been overcome with the new proposed exhibit, so the objection on those grounds is overruled.
May I be heard on a motion to reconsider here?
Go ahead, Mr. Thomas.
The issue I have, Your Honor, is that if the court doesn't require that the state take these out in these particular pages, 14 different pages, that the state has indicated that these are voluminous documents. We had no idea that they were going to pull in these hearsay statements. We had no idea that they weren't going to actually call any of these people that I've indicated. And it would be ineffective on our part should we just roll over and allow this to happen. And, Your Honor, I believe that, you know, ineffective assistance of counsel is a big deal. And I think that the state could cure this by pulling out those items that were in this hearsay, that are hearsay within this. I understand that it has already been admitted as an exhibit, but to have the jury hear impermissible hearsay just because of a mistake on Ms. Vallow's counsel, that we allow this to come in without the objection of hearsay, I think would be detrimental to Ms. Vallow's case.
All right, any response to that, Ms. Smith?
Well, I respect and admire defense counsel's creative advocacy. One, it's not an impermissible hearsay. It's the defendant's statement. We're not offering the statements of any of the people in there for the truth of the matter asserted other than the defendant. Those provide context for that. So while I applaud the advocacy, the law is clear. The defendant's statements, when offered by the state, are admissible. The statements of the others are not inadmissible hearsay in that we are not offering for the truth of the matter. For example, the comment that Ned was in Charles is been in multiple times, sometimes without objection, and we're not offering it for the truth of the matter asserted that Ned was in fact in Charles Vallow. We are offering it for the response that the defendant made to this case. So one, it's not inadmissible hearsay. Two, defense counsel has multiple reports on this, and the characterization of ineffective is just simply misplaced, though I understand and respect the advocacy. It's just flat out not accurate. The appellate record on this will be clear, and the state has no concerns offering this exhibit in the context it's been put forward and offering and purporting the defendant's own statements. So for that reason, legally, the defense's position is unfounded.
All right. Well, I've considered the request to reconsider the ruling offered by Mr. Thomas and the response from the state on each of those pages. I haven't made any determination that it is or is not hearsay. They are statements of other persons apparently contained in those pages. Whether or not they fall within impermissible hearsay has not been determined. What has been determined is the exhibit from whence these come was previously admitted, and to the extent if there is any hearsay in there, it may or may not be permissible hearsay, but the defense will be allowed to cross-examine on those issues as well as it relates to whether or not the credibility could be attacked or they could be impeached if, in fact, it is a hearsay statement, which is inherently less reliable than direct statements. So the court doesn't find a reason to modify my prior ruling based on that finding. So that'll be the determination as it relates to the proposed Exhibit 183. Before we get started, also, as I'm thinking through with this witness, counsel, the defense had raised an issue yesterday also as it relates to concerns that the witness may have violated the exclusionary rule. If there's going to be extensive argument on that beyond me just doing the normal question I'm giving to all the witnesses, I'm wondering if perhaps we shouldn't start there with the witness also outside the presence of the jury if you think you're going to probe into whether or not the witness may have violated the exclusionary rule. I think it might be more appropriate to do that examination outside of the juror's presence.
Yes, Your Honor.
You do intend to do that?
Yes.
Okay. With that, then, I would find that it's appropriate to conduct that voir dire on that issue without the jurors present, so that we can get into if, in fact, there was any violation of the exclusionary rule. The witness can disclose that without having the jurors hear that information. So if that's where we are on the issue, I would suggest we then call the witness, have him brought in, go through the exclusionary rule issue, and then assuming the witness stays on the stand, we'll bring the jurors in after that if the court does not find that he is excluded.
Thank you, Your Honor. Do you want Agent Hart brought in?
Yes, let's go ahead and do that.
Your Honor, prior to that, could I just get a ruling that I don't have to make specific hearsay objections on pages 2, 5, 7, 15, 43, 46, 72, 73, 75, 80, 81, 82, 83, and 84, and that the court's willing to acknowledge for appellate purposes that I have made those objections. I don't want to call specific attention to it, to the jury, to those specific hearsay objections. Is that okay?
Yes. So the record will indicate that the defense has now raised objections on those pages as to hearsay on the proposed exhibit that is not yet admitted, but if it does become admitted, then pages 2, 5, 7, 15, 43, 46, 72, 73, 75, 80, 81, 82, 83, and 84 have lodged an objection on hearsay grounds to each of those, and the court will not require you to re-raise the issue before the jurors. And again, I don't have those in front of me. If you think for some reason it should be raised again, you're not prohibited from bringing it up, but it's lodged in the record that you've made your objection.
Thank you.
Your Honor, if the state may at some point get that list, that went pretty fast, and that we heard about it in chambers but couldn't write it down fast enough. So if we could get that list, if defense counsel could email it to us or something, just so that we can make sure we're paying attention to that issue as it comes up.
Okay, let me just read it off for you one more time.
Thank you, I'm sorry.
2, 5, 7, 15, 43, 46, 72, 73, 75, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84.
Thank you, Judge.
You're welcome. Okay, let's go ahead and have the next witness called and sworn then, and we'll go through an initial voir dire on the exclusionary rule issue.
Solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Your Honor, as the witness is taking the stand procedurally, do you want the state to go first on this inquiry, or? The court, I just want to make sure I'm standing where I need to be.
Yes. It took me just a second, counsel. Sorry, apologies, just one moment. I want to have a brief consultation. All right, thank you. Please be seated. All right, at this time then, Agent Hart's been placed under oath. The issue's arisen as to a potential, I guess, issue raised by the defense as to whether or not there's been a violation of the court's exclusionary rule as it relates to this witness. The court would note it's previously entered an order that prohibits witnesses in the case from seeing or reviewing or being exposed to the trial testimony before they testify. And so because the issue has been raised specifically, I would ask the state if you want to conduct any voir dire on the issue of the court's exclusionary order, then I'll allow the defense to cross-examine on that narrow issue. This is prior to starting any testimony before the jurors, and I'll note on the record the jurors are not present for this stage of the proceedings.
Good morning.
Morning.
Sir, do you prefer to be called chief deputy or agent? I'm used to one, but I know you're something else now.
For this case, agent is fine.
Okay. Agent Hart, were you aware of a court order prohibiting witnesses from listening to the trial in this case?
Yes.
Were you aware that the court's order prohibited you from listening to or reviewing trial testimony of any witnesses?
Yes.
Did you listen to the trial in any part of this case?
No.
Did you listen to the trial testimony of any witnesses?
No, I have not.
Have you reviewed the trial testimony that occurred in the courtroom with anyone?
No.
Have you reviewed the trial testimony of anyone, even through conversation?
No.
Okay. Has the state shared with you the trial testimony of anyone?
No.
You have been present for some interviews and pretrial preparation of witnesses, correct?
Yes.
Have you been part of pretrial preparation of witnesses after those people have testified?
No.
Has anyone brought to your attention any trial testimony of those witnesses at any point?
No.
Is there any way that you have followed, listened to the trial testimony or the trial proceedings that have been available in the public?
No. Prior to the trial beginning, we received a strict instruction from the prosecution regarding those matters, that we were not to speak with other witnesses regarding their testimony, and we were not to watch any television, read any newspaper media, online media regarding the trial. I've obeyed that order rigorously.
Okay. Thank you. I have nothing further. Thank you, Agent.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Smith. Mr. Archibald, you can inquire.
If I understand correctly, you're not with the FBI any longer, but that was your former job.
That's correct.
And as your former job as an agent with the FBI, was it part of your duties to review all summaries from other FBI witnesses?
I guess I don't understand your question when you say FBI witnesses.
There's been a number of FBI witnesses who've testified in this trial. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, FBI employees?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you reviewed their statements?
No.
Did you coordinate with anyone about what other FBI witnesses were going to say and what you were going to say?
I was part of the investigation from its inception, and so during the course of the past 3.5 years, on a number of occasions, I have met with our FBI analysts, our FBI forensic accountants. I approved reports that they wrote during the course of the investigation, but I have not discussed their testimony with them in any way.
So they would prepare a report, you would review that, sign off on it?
Correct.
Has there been anyone from the FBI who's been attending this trial?
Objection, relevance. This is about his exposure to the proceedings in the courtroom. This isn't about who was where.
I'll rephrase the question.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Archer.
Is there anyone from the FBI sitting in the courtroom right now?
Objection, relevance.
It's not relevant, I guess, if they're not testifying.
Has the person who is from the FBI, who is sitting in this courtroom, have you had conversations with him about what's been happening here in court?
No.
Have you received any emails or texts from this FBI person who's here in the courtroom?
No. Objection, relevance.
It needs to be more narrow than that, Mr. Archibald. It's whether it relates to observation of any trial testimony.
So this FBI person who's in the courtroom, has he provided any information to you about what other witnesses have said?
No.
Have the prosecutors relayed any information to you about what witnesses have said?
No. In fact, on a number of occasions, I've been asked to leave the room so that they could discuss those matters.
Have the local police from Rexburg or Madison County or Fremont County provided you any information about what's been testified here in court?
No. All of those individuals have been very cautious and careful, as instructed by the prosecutors, not to discuss those things.
Okay. Well, thank you, Agent.
All right, counsel, with that line of questioning, then, the court did not find any rationale behind a objection under the exclusionary rule. The witness has indicated compliance with the court's order as it relates to the Rule 615 of the Idaho Rules of Evidence and the order that was entered in the case, so I don't find there's been any violation there. So with that, we'll go ahead and bring the jurors in, and the state can commence with its direct examination.
Your Honor, while the jury's being brought in, may I and Mr. Wood get set up for the state's direct?
Yes.
That wraps up segment number one of our coverage in today's courtroom action of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. There's more to come. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it right here.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.